Greetings in Christ Jesus, our Lord and our Savior. Overcomers.ca. The Epistle Mysteries, Chapter 28. The Mystery of the Church, One with His Body. Scriptures. For no man hath ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the Church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the Church. Ephesians 5:29 to 32. For while one saith, I am of Paul, and another, I am of Apollos, are ye not carnal? Who then is Paul, and who is Apollos, but ministers by whom ye believed, even as the Lord gave to every man? I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. For we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry, ye are God's building. According to the grace of God which is given unto me, as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon, for other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now if any man build upon this foundation gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. And the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss. But he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy. For the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are. Let no man deceive himself. If any man among you seem to be wise in this world, let him become a fool, that he may be wise. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. For it is written, He taketh the wise in their own craftiness. And again, the Lord knoweth the thoughts of the wise, that they are vain. Therefore let no man glory in men, for all things are yours, whether Paul, or Apollos, or Cephas, or the world, or life, or death, or things present, or things to come, all are yours, and ye are Christ's, and Christ is God's. 1 Corinthians 3, verses 4 to 23. And God hath both raised up the Lord, who will also raise up us by his own power. Know ye not that your bodies are the members of Christ? Shall I then take the members of Christ and make them the members of a harlot? God forbid. What? Know ye not that he which is joined to a harlot is one body? For two, saith he, shall be one flesh. But he that is joined unto the Lord is one spirit. Flee fornication. Every sin that a man doeth is without the body, but he that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you, which you have of God, and you are not your own? For you are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. 1 Corinthians 6:14-20. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another. Romans 12, verses 1 to 5. For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. For the Lord is not one member, but many. If the foot shall say, because I am not the hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear shall say, because I am not the eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? And if the whole were hearing, where were the smelling? But now hath God set the members, every one of them, in his body, as it hath pleased him. And if they are all one, member, where the body? But now are they many members, yet but one body. And the eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. Nay, much more, those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary. And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow more abundant honor. For our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness. For our comely parts have no need. But God hath tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to that part which lacked, that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. And whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it, or one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now ye are the body of Christ, and members in particular. And God has set some in the church, first apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healings, helps, governments, diversities of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Are all workers of miracles? Have all the gifts of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? But covet earnestly the best gifts, and yet show I unto you a more excellent way. 1 Corinthians 12, verses 12 to 31. End Scriptures. Two visions. First vision. Scripture first, from Acts 15, 14 to 18. Simon hath declared how God at the first did visit the Gentiles to take out of them a people for his name. And to this agree the words of the prophets, as it is written, After this I will return, and will build again the tabernacle of David, which has fallen down. And I will build again the ruins thereof, and will set it up, that the residue of men might seek after the Lord, and all the Gentiles upon whom my name is called, saith the Lord, who doeth all these things. Known unto God are all his works from the beginning of the world. And the vision? A tabernacle tent, large enough to house the elements of David's tabernacle, was firmly fastened by ropes and wooden stakes to the earth. The tabernacle was elevated above the earth and was covered in splendid light and glory, both within and without, on top of it and underneath it. The entire tabernacle was not touching the earth at all, but was elevated into the air above the earth, held there fast by cords and wooden stakes that were driven into the earth. So then the tabernacle was elevated, but anchored, unable to move any higher in the atmosphere, and therefore was somewhat restricted. I saw then under the tabernacle that the earth and the nations in the earth had come into great shakings. The earth was reeling under the shakings of the Lord, and his hand moved to shake and to bring to naught all that was yet in the earth under the realm of the tabernacle. The tabernacle was steadfast and unmovable, not affected by the shakings, because it was elevated and covered in glory. End vision. Second vision. In full view was what looked like the body of Christ, with one who looked like Christ as the head of this body, and the individual members making up the individual parts of the body. However, the individual parts or cells of this body seemed to be in disarray, positioned in one place, then moving into another place, always motioning about. No individual member of this body was set in a place of steadfast security or establishment. As I looked at this body, I saw that many of the individual members of the body were not clean, but defiled, dusty, dirty from the earth upon which the body stood, as the elements of dust and dust of the earth and the world of men below it was infiltrating upwards into this body. Thus, the body was defiled. The individual members of it had contaminated their lives in the body with the elements of the world of men, taking these elements as though they were precious things into the body, and thus the whole of the body was contaminated. I could see the head of this body being what looked to me like Jesus. But the body was not settled, not steadfast, but filthy, moving in an uncertain way, defiled by the dust of this world. As I beheld this, my eyes were able to see through the body, and directly behind the body I saw a second body. This body had the Lord Jesus Christ as the head. He, resplendent in resurrection glory, formed fully the head of this body which was below it. Every member in this body was perfect. There was no dust, no defilement, no unsteadiness or motion or moving or shifting. The body was holy. I could see that certain cells of it, of the defiled body, were leaving it, being moved over as if by an invisible hand into the pure body behind it, just one or two cells at a time, and only a very few cells in all. So there were two bodies, one perfect, pure, and holy, the other one greatly defiled. There were two Jesus as the heads of these bodies, one which looked like Jesus, and the other which was truly Jesus. Both were on the shoulders as the head of these bodies, and these two Jesus were exactly and precisely identical. The two heads were identical in every single feature. They looked exactly the same, and the bodies underneath them looked exactly the same, except that the false body was shifting, moving, unclean, defiled and filled with the dust of the earth. The true body was holy, and there was no defilement, no uncleanness, and no shifting or moving of individual members in this body. Thus the two bodies were there, the defiled one in front of the holy one, Both remained. Both were there in an establishment, and both were in their respective states continually. And second vision. And visions. Beginning now in the first part of the mystery of the church, we begin by noting that the whole intent of the Lord was and is to create unto himself a body in which the full expression of his Spirit would dwell continually, a tabernacle set in the lives of those who love the Lord. This is the body of Christ, the church of the living God. Pointing out the defiled state of that which is false and that which is untrue is a way to know of a certainty that which is true and that which is undefiled. When you expose that which is false and bring it out into the light, then the matter is defined for you in such a way as to know what truth is and what is the correct interpretation of things. In the study done called The Royal Ephod, I exposed the fact that there was two Jesus present in the walk of faith. These two Jesus were seen as the great high priest passed into the heavens to intercede on behalf of mankind at the right hand of God. Jesus number one and Jesus number two were absolutely identical in that study. Both of them were the garments of the high priest, and both of them were before God. Both of them wore the ephod, that breastplate which bore 14 stones, 12 on the front, representing the 12 tribes of Israel, and 2 on the shoulders, the Urim and Thummim stones, representing light and revelation. The only clue that there was a difference in the view of these two Jesus was the fact that the false one had empty sockets in the front of his ephod in the third row. The false Jesus was missing the ligwire, the agate, and the amethyst stones. So in that study, we learned the difference between Christ and Antichrist. While waiting upon the Lord concerning the mystery of the church, the Spirit of the Lord made very real to me that just as there are two Jesus, one true and the other false, so there are two bodies, two churches, one true, the other false. If the false Jesus sits as the head of a body, then the whole of that body is also false. And of course it's true if the true Jesus, which is one whom God raised from the dead, sits as head of the true church, the true body, then that body cannot and is not defiled at all, but it takes on itself all the attributes of the head which is above it. The true body then consists only of that which is a new creation. There is nothing of the world of men to defile it, nor is there anything in the world of that which is in spirit to contaminate it either. It is perfect, with each member set in order in that body, in that perfect place which the Lord has determined beforehand to be complete and holy, each part contributing to the whole. So then, the very first study on the mystery of the church is to expose to the light the fact that there is now on the earth a false body, a false church, with a false Jesus as the head. I define that now. The false body is anyone and everyone who may name the name of Christ, but who holds to the elements which man made. Those things of the denominations and churches in the earth which ordain and set in order individuals into the faith according to the creeds, customs, and mannerisms of what man has defined as faith. These hold to doctrines of escapism, doctrines of devils, doctrines of disqualification, if one does not accept and adhere to the creeds they have invented by an incorrect interpretation of Scripture, not holding fast to the true head, which is the Lord Jesus Christ, but holding fast to that false head, that Antichrist, which looks exactly like Jesus, but is missing the third row of stones upon its breastplate. This false one, and the ones looking to it, covers 99.9% of our modern Christian world. The masses of Christianity have not looked upon the Lord in truth, but they have looked upon that Lord that looks like Jesus, talks like Jesus, walks like Jesus, blesses and anoints like Jesus, but it is not Jesus. This is that Antichrist which modern Christianity extols and worships, but which is not the Lord in truth. This is the God of self. It is the soulish part of the spirit, which is a defiled part, an iniquitous part, a part which Jesus condemned when he said he would not save the son of perdition. This perdition itself and this delusion which has taken the world into gross darkness is the delusion they call light, and the doctrine it spouts they call truth. The Apostle Paul stated that no other foundation was laid which could be laid, even the chief cornerstone, the Lord Jesus Christ. He then stated that we were to take heed as to how we built upon that foundation. This is the foundation of the church of the living God. What has happened is man brought into this building all that which was defiling in religious effort over the past centuries of time. Agreeing in carnal agreements, they built, thinking they were building with the proper materials. The result was a building made of hay, wood, and stubble. Doctrines that shame one, not edify one. Doctrines that exclude the sinner, not taking them in as forgiven. Doctrines that base their faith on escapism rather than manifestly showing forth the kingdom of God in the earth. Doctrines of every varying degree and shadow of light, of none of which would stand the test of fire. Doctrines of every varying degree and shadow of light, none of which would stand the test of fire. Doctrines which created many denominations rather than one church. Divisive doctrines, not ones that reveal the love of God in truth. Doctrines that shed a light upon the person of Christ that is not a true light, but a light that is manufactured by religious effort and is the apostolizing of men. This is the creation of that which the glorified Jesus called the doctrine of the Nicolaitans, which I hate. Doctrines which cause men to lord it over others rather than being members in particular, one member established and flowing with another. Thus it is in the beginning rays of this new day. An apostate church is formed in the earth with some 65,000 denominations in it, and not one single one of them sheds any true light at all. It is all sick. It is all destined for the same judgment that must fall upon the nations, and it is all therefore destined to be destroyed. When you view today's so-called preachers, you see a bunch of people purporting every conceivable misguided truth imaginable. This gives place to what I call the latent power of the soul. It becomes soul power, based in iniquity, and found to be filled with power, but not God's power. These ministries then minister this power to perform signs and wonders and every conceivable act of aggression against the true Church of Christ. Taking men's lives, they fill them with damnable heresies, promising them the riches of wealth and prosperity and every other kind of imaginable doctrine which elevates men in the same direction. For every single one of the world's preachers today that you view in the denominational systems brings the listeners to forsake the personal cross. Jesus for them becomes a gimmick for gaining wealth and the stature and the riches of the world, which riches includes money and an endless supply of prosperity in every sense of the word. The result is that men, in their minds, liken themselves to God's mind and God's power. They attribute their lives as being in a state of continual total perfection, and that there is in them that which is only of the risen power of the Lord. They have no other affiliation. These preachers are emulated and adored and held in high esteem by masses of Christians who hold them on the stage as those who have special favor and are in the place of unbounded power by the Holy Ghost. But it is not God's power. It is the power of this false Jesus which loves to deceive. And all of this will end in wrathful judgment. But there are some, a few, those who I call the overcomers, who are joined to the true Jesus, who is the head of this body, the fullness of him who fills all in all, or if you will, all who desire his all to be their all. These have come out from amongst the others in their frenzied masses, and have separated themselves unto the Lord, and have laid down their lives to the power of their own personal cross. They do not shirk the responsibility to know the Lord in truth, even if it costs them dearly. They are set aside, away from the rest of the world, but not of it. These have been placed by the hand of God into their own individual perfect place in the true body of Christ, and it is in there that they have their only identity. Their identity with the world still exists, but daily they die to that and live unto the Lord, who is their life source. These are the overcomers, being them that had gotten the victory over the beast, and over his image, and over his mark, and over the number of his name. The body they are a part of can have no defiling part. This is the mystery of the church, the mystery of him who dwells at the right hand of God, doing perfectly his will in the midst of them all. Nothing of this world or of the defilement of mankind can penetrate or be a part of this body, for it is a body which is altogether holy and perfect and which cannot be defiled. For there is nothing in it which is of the defiling nature. So know this, dear reader of this page. You are part of the true ecclesia, those who are ordained to be one with the head, even the true Jesus of the true body of Christ. Rise up and worship him alone, who created you to become one in the image of his glory. For this is your part in the mystery of the church, and there is much more to come. To be continued, Kenneth B. Vischer.